The following public service announcement contains explicit language. The message is part of a campaign promoting active, safer sex practices.
There's never been such a thing as safe sex.
Risks like unplanned pregnancies, diseases, and broken hearts have always existed. But with the fatal, sexually transmitted disease, AIDS, everyone has to be concerned about spreading the virus. There are lots of hot things other than fucking that people can do together, which are not risky. Dressed sex, talking dirty, kissing, showing off, looking at or making your own pictures or videos.
There are still some gray areas, and oral sex is one of them.
Bathing, showering.
It's less risky than fucking without a condom, but not as safe as giving your partner a good hand job.
When you do fuck, whether with an old friend or a new one, give yourself the added security provided by a condom. Love and sex will always involve a certain amount of risk. Some of us wouldn't have it any other way.
But there's no sense taking chances with your life or the lives of those you care about. So play safer.
These ideas were brought to you by Utility Grade in cooperation with Safe Sex Corps.
Disciple 1 to Guru 1. Come in, Guru. Can you hear me?
Log attendance, my swag. My gaining of complete and total swag. And regaining it from the people who have stolen it from me over the years.
Well, just basically that I think what you're saying is pretty hip.
Yeah, that's right. It is hip. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, Mike, what do you think of the rave reviews my show's getting?
Your show, Bob?
Well, when's your show on?
Well, my show's on Thursday mornings.
Well, mine's on Wednesday at midnight.
Every other Wednesday at midnight, Bob.
Yeah, the Church of the Subgenius.
With Mike Dyer.
And J.R. Bob Dobbs. Mike, some more rave reviews?
Yeah, sure, Bob.
Really provides me a meaning for my existence.
This is exhilarating. I really get off on this sort of stuff, Bob. This is real radio.
Yeah.
The continuity will take care of these problems.
That's right. There's no way that my work is going to be stopped.
The thing is, I'm the greatest artist alive today.
Mike, what do you think of the rave reviews my show's getting?
Your show, Bob?
When's your show on?
Well, my show's on Thursday mornings.
Well, mine's on Wednesday at midnight.
Every other Wednesday at midnight, Bob.
Yeah, the Church of the Subgenius.
With Mike Dyer.
And J.R. Bob Dobbs. Mike, some more rave reviews?
Yeah, sure, Bob.
I really get off on this sort of stuff, Bob. This is real radio.
The continuity will take care of these problems.
That's right. There's no way that my work is going to be stopped.
The thing is, I'm the greatest artist alive today.
But believe that this disciple will be looking for the completed intensive overnight.
Well. Bob, beautiful work. Beautiful work from the archives.
You did it, Mike.
We all did it.
We did it.
It's a collective process. Yeah. Great work.
A very good work by Dave Neufeld.
Yes, thank you to Dave.
That's two versions. Well, the Doors.
Actually, maybe just turn your level down. Is your level really high on the headphones?
Where's the knob?
Is there a knob there, right, where you're plugged into? No, on the headphones. So getting feedback? Wow, that's great. It's human feedback.
Okay, that's all right. Sound effect.
No, it stinks. That stinks. Why are we getting that? Are you... How high is your headphone? I mean, level-wise. How loud is it? It
could be... Just a little loud.
Yeah? Can you turn it down anymore?
Well, where's the knob?
Is there a knob where it's plugged in?
All right. Oh, yeah, right there. Okay. Like that?
Yeah.
That's, I got you.
A little better. Okay.
Yeah, that's better. Okay, we're disconnected from Riverly?
Yes, we are. We're finished. International Women's Day is over for another day, another year. And, here comes a woman now. And,
There's nowhere for Kent to plug it, right? We're in a new situation here. We're not to,
Harold, plug it into Bob. There.
Works.
Electronically charged.
Well, welcome to the Church of the Subgenius. So another Wednesday, every other Wednesday, another half hour. Okay, starting the clock now. Sorry we went over there, but, you know, they had a busy schedule down at the Riverly, Bob, and they weren't that bad, actually. 15 minutes over, you know.
That was good.
Yeah,
very important.
Good energy.
They got aborted at the beginning at 10 o'clock, so they deserved to get over.
Yeah, they went way over.
Well, what we inflicted there on the whole population of Toronto and vicinity was...
3 million people.
Our promo, our new promo, and we have the simple version, and then we have the multi-layered version. The simple version will be used for a couple of months to acquaint the populace of what the meaning of the promo is, and then we put in the other hidden ground referred in the second version of the promo. Mm-hmm. So if you find the first one too simple, the second one's coming up later.
What's the difference between the two? You say the simple version and the more complex version.
The more complex version has a phone call or a message running continuously underneath the singing and commentary. All right, and that phone message ends with the phrase, "We're waiting for the completed intensive." After the 2 week intensive done on Seamus McTee when he came up from New York. 2 week intensive of Bob Knowledge as compared to the year long extended intensive on Mike Dyer.
Right.
All right, so it's been International Women's Day. We all know that Bob is one of the most amazing women around today. As we remember that song by Long John Baldry? I think it was him, where the line is, "I know a boy who's growing tits." Remember that song? That was about me about 300 years ago. It's an old folk song. Bob, he made a breakthrough before genetic engineering. I mean, I am both a man and a woman. So it's been my day, and I've enjoyed it. I've stayed tuned to see Kellen all day long and listened to my sisters. And they listened to me, and they felt the slack today. Yeah, because Bob is... Well, he's just everything. He's any known form, geometric, animal, man, beast, divine, angelic, super angelic, electric. Bob is that.
And you were an anarchist during the Anarchist Center Convention?
Oh, yes, I was there. As a matter of fact, I prompted the police to come in and bust up the thing up there on University Avenue, or was it Avenue Road, you know, near ROM, near the museum. I brought that in there. I got the anarchists all excited, you know, created the disease, offered the cure, and they feel quite motivated over this past 6 months. You know, they feel that they are somebody now, thanks to Bob. Right. Bob is amazing. I mean, it's amazing how amazing I am.
I was talking to, who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to Perry this week. Has Perry called you recently?
Perry Dedaddled School?
Yes.
Perry's been leaving messages, and if he's listening, I keep calling him back, and he ain't there. I mean, as soon as he leaves a message at my home, he takes off out of the house.
Yeah.
I know, he's very interested on certain activities being broadcast, but what did he tell you? You want to tell me something?
If you heard about the radio show at Sheridan College?
Oh, yeah, the upstart?
Yes.
Do you know about this guy?
No, not at all.
Just some kid. Apparently, he's the one who calls in. He claims to call into this show. And sounds like a kid.
Perhaps we should clarify to our audience what we're talking about. But there is another Subgenius show not very far from here in Oakville.
Closed circuit.
Closed circuit radio being broadcast in Sheridan College.
And they claim they have Bob out there.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have to pull the oligarchic technique and ignore them.
Oh, sure.
Right?
That's
I mean, in Russia, you were under pre-Gorbachev conditions sent to Siberia. And in North America, you were ignored by the media. Well, I'm going to be a North American and ignore this Sheridan upstart group because nobody's going to be able to outdo what I did and what I'm doing and what I will do, right? Choked throat or not, right? I'm all choked up.
What do we have tonight, boss?
Some exciting new concepts. Concepts.
Can I just point out again to our listening audience that we are in Studio B? Mike, what a great noise. We're in Studio B, and the number here is not 595-1655. We're at 595-1478 if you have any questions for Bob tonight. So let's launch right into it. I have no questions really tonight. So
I know a boy who's growing tits. That's a very good song. I don't know the title.
I remember it was a big, big hit.
Big hit about 1981, just at the end of the...
I'm thinking of the chorus now. A thrill's a thrill.
A bob is a bob.
A bob's a bob, a thrill's a thrill. Okay.
I know a bob who cut off his tits. No, he didn't do that. That's what the Sheridan guy did. Put the rumors out about him immediately, right? Let's cut off his dick, too, just to cover it up. Balance the coverage here. That's Dave Neufeld's Rainfall. Rainfall. All right, ideas. Of course, I've got to come up with new ideas. Keep your hands off the tapes, please, Mike. You know, just wipe them on your shirt. I've got to come up with new ideas, you know, new concepts of brevity to stimulate the young inflamed fire atom brains of our subgenius listeners and pink sponsors. Here's one. Come on in, guys. Come on in. Come on in, man. You can enjoy in this. All right, first of all, obviously, there shouldn't be any complaints about what's in the headlines the past 2 weeks, or past week, I'd say, because
I'm about the best. My pop.
They're talking about pizza, folks, or their pizza. They just love smeared it over my tape. But anyways, the problem is that church is busy tonight. People are coming in and out. So why don't take a seat, Elliot? Elliot's here, Karen Elliott from Montreal, anarchist extraordinaire, also straight government worker. Pinky. All right, so the point is we get busy today. Busy air traffic control. Do you know what the big new Brzezinski said the other day? He said the United States is moving from its role as global policeman to global air traffic controller.
Hasn't that been said before?
Certainly by me.
I think on this radio station,
yes,
on this show.
That tells you they're listening to me, yeah, as Biggie's using his contacts in the Secret Council 10 to explain the reality of air traffic control. That's Jet City, which is explained in The Perfect Pitch in Media Metaphysics, Volume 1, Number 1. But this past week, we've been bombarded locally with headlines about, chemicals. And I've made it quite clear to everybody in this region that we have to get used to the idea of organic robotoids on the political level, on the corporate level. Top political leaders, top government leaders have been replaced and are mainly organic robotoids. So I think once we accept that, it should be no problem. On the, let's say, the bottom-up level, that's the top-down, that's the power structure. On the bottom-up level, on the people level, what do we deal with, Mike? We deal with organic steroids, all right? That's what our athletes have become, organic steroids, and the politicians are organic rheumatoids. So let's, that's right, we don't have to get upset about it, it's
well,
a fact.
I'm showing the Prophet Herald the photographs that I received from you.
Yeah.
And he was rather shocked at the content of them.
Do you know that was in a British newspaper, photos of Ben taking the two drinks.
Mm-hmm.
They showed on CTV the other night the video of that. They have it. I've never seen it on CBC, but they had it on CTV. Mm-hmm. So we don't even need the magazine covers anymore.
Yeah.
It's on video. It shows Ben, but he does it rather quickly, and it's like somebody gives him another bottle as if it's a friend or something. So he just drinks it, no question about it. So the magazine pictures betray or set up a situation where there's a bit of a possibility he made a mistake, but he quite enthusiastically picks up the second bottle. So I think we can discount that. The point is, it happened after he was. See, remember I told you, Ken, I think it was when I was in California.
Yeah.
I told you that Ben was set up, and I'm going to be proven right.
Yeah.
And Ben was set up. I mean, there's a reason why they picked him, and there's a reason why they're bringing it out now. They're getting us ready to accept organic robotoids, right?
Right.
They start with bottom up. All right. Now, Mike. Mike's busy on the phone. I guess it has nothing to do with this, so we'll continue with our next exciting, scintillating idea, percept. All right. Yeah, good pizza. Traditionally, reality is made up of the four elements, water, air, fire, and earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, in the last 100 years, water of those four elements has been mutating into Akasha. Akasha, A-K-A-S-H-A. But really, what Akasha is, doesn't refer to being indifferent to cash. you know, like amoral, acacia. I like the Akashic Records, a traditional occult reference to the Universal Records and Universal Archives and Supermind Consciousness, the Super Museum. All right, so Akasha refers to the Akashic Records, but it doesn't mean you're indifferent to cash. It means that water is changing into Bob. But Bob was and is the greatest salesman, so he had to put the cash element in there, Akasha, but Bob's indifferent to the profits he makes. You know what I mean? And because we're not moving into a cashless society, right? We're not moving into a cashless society because we have had a cashless society for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of people with no money. Cashless society has taken over. All right? So, Akasha is the new element. Water's transmuting. This is the new alchemy. Akasha is the new element, and Akasha means Bob. All right? Now, another exciting another idea I came up with was... the electric environment, which is what I am, all right? You got these people running around channeling now, channeling entities, right? Bringing up entities from their own past lives or other people's past lives, apparently. None of them equal what Bob can do. Bob, as an electric environment, retrieves not just a past life or an ancient past entity. Bob retrieves whole eras. In other words, under electric conditions, I retrieve the Middle Ages. The whole medieval culture has been dropped back into her lap. Now, that's real psychic invocation, psychic channeling, when Bob can bring back whole eras. Now, of course, the medieval culture was dropped back in our lap in the 60s. It was called the counterculture youth culture. It was the Middle Ages. You know, Donovan and those guys.
Something I'm familiar with there.
Yeah, so the medieval period has been reincarnated by Bob under electric conditions. And on top of that, not only do I bring back the medieval era, I bring back the Mesopotamian slave societies. Way back there, 2,000, 3,000 B.C., that's what we have in most of our civilizations and cultures today, is slave societies. Everybody's got 400 slaves, but they're one of the slaves themselves for everybody else.
Not me.
Well, not you, Kent, because you're sitting here with me, Bob. Yeah. All right, so the point is that Bob... But let's think of this. Bob can reincarnate. When I go into trance, which is implementing the electric environment that creates a somnambulist state, a new kind of somnambulist state, I reincarnate whole time eras. All right? I mean, I got people walking around like Hollywood movie sets. I mean, this is, whole cultures are reincarnated under Bob conditions, and that's an amazing psychic challenge I throw out to Alexander Blair Hewitt, for example. Let's toss one out to that pink Alexander Blair Hewitt, you know, selling the New Age scam down there in Spadina. I don't mean scam as a put-down. I mean, it's a fact. It's scam. It's society for the cultivation of antimatter Menshevism. All right?
What? Menshevism.
Oh, they were there.
I can't hear
you. Don't you remember the Bolsheviks? There were the Mensheviks, too. Antimatter Mensheviks. The Mensheviks were another team of collaborators and competitors for the control of Moscow and the Kremlin in the early part of this time period, known as the 20th century. All right, a little now back. Now, here's another thing. I mean, these people are out there right now ripping off my ideas to make their novels, you know, and get some McKellen Stewart stuff published. They're ripping off my ideas to make novels. They just tune in. They don't phone in. They don't share with Bob. They just listen to the great ideas, get scenarios, and write novels. Well, I'll tell you, I don't write another novel because with media ecology coming in, the electric environment becoming and generating more values of intolerance, you write a novel, you're going to have that's consider that warfare, all right? So old, what's his name, Salman Rushdie, you know, he writes a book, and now he has to suffer the excessive parameters of privacy and solitude, which is a normal electric condition, because he made the mistake of not realizing that today visual space is the new Aztec sacrificial lamb. Under Aztec electric slave society Mesopotamian conditions, then you, baby, you write a book, you're going to have to deal with all those pinks or run around under electric conditions who don't like visual space. They're into acoustic space. That includes musicians, but especially people who are bringing back temple bureaucracy over the Naran. They will not tolerate novelists, so Margaret Atwood, do not write another book because it's going to get more extreme and the West is going to be helpless to deal with it because we are pink-oriented because we don't understand Bob's talk. You know, we don't understand Bob, we don't have the proper protective mechanism. That's the truth. All right? So that's a warning. Do you want to write a novel? Rip me off, make a movie script. Do a radio documentary, make some TV shows. Work for Degrassi High or something, but don't write a book. Don't write
a
book.
Does this mean I got to burn my pens?
What?
Does this mean I got to burn my pens?
That's right. Forget your career. Well, you can do it over the air. Just keep reading your poetry over the air. You're safe that way. Stay on CKLM.
No, I'm writing a book.
Don't do that because...
I'm writing yet another book.
We don't know how...
many books out, Bob.
We don't know how intolerant the electric conditions are going to be. I mean, without Bob running the obvious parameters of the visual situation. Bob working in acoustic conditions, you can look for visual victims, visual space victims. And I tell you, there is an answer to... There's only one way you could write a book and get away with it today, and that is to rip off Finnegan's Wake, republish, or they actually, if these booksellers here in Toronto and that who want to really protest Khomeini's actions, they should redistribute Finnegan's Wake on a massive scale, because you look at Finnegan's Wake, it's visual space, you can read it, but you can't make out who it's pointing his fingers at. And that will make Khomeini outrageous. They won't know who this book, this enemy bomb, this software weapon.
They don't understand Gaelic to begin with.
No, it's made up of more than 60 languages, not
they
just Gaelic.
That.
Yeah, and yeah. The point is, Finnegan's Wake is talking about what's happening to Salman Rushdie. It's giving me effects and causes. And the point is, let's send out Finnegan's Wake to people because you can't really say who is it.
Yeah, who's attacking?
Who's attacking? All right. So Finnegan's Wake, as Bob has claimed, again, I'm ahead of my time. I've been talking about Finnegan's Wake as the main holy office for studying visual space. Use Finnegan's Wake, you go right around Khomeini. Mm-hmm. You know, and what is it? An irresistible force meets an immovable object. Well, Finnegan's Wake bypasses that situation. All right. Now, another interesting idea is that why do we have a supposed economic recovery, an increased spreading of consumer zombieism and so-called 1980s spending fever. And we also have people, what's called, Tom Wolfe said in a recent Time magazine interview, a money fever. The 80s is characterized by money fever. People wanting money or accumulating it statistically or spending it, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we have a feeling that there is no money anymore, that we are incredibly in debt, and we don't have enough money to deal with it.
We are incredibly in debt.
So we've got two parallel dynamics here. We've got...
You have Elliot, you have Kent.
Kent, yeah. Now, Elliot represents somebody with money, all right? Suffering under consumer fever. Kent here represents somebody with no money,
of
right?
Of course.
Now, the paradox is that Kent has a job, he's got no money. Ellie doesn't have a job, and he's got money. Okay, again,
I don't have a job.
Now, relax, all right? I'm talking about
yeah.
the Kent I knew 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
it's changed.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Do you think this show is dealing with the present right now? Well, in a way, but certain concepts are referred back a couple of weeks because there is a backlog.
Well, the show was taped anyway.
Yes.
I just had a call. Woman thinks you're going on too long. Do you ever stop?
Who thinks?
So someone said, does this guy ever stop?
Yes.
And I said, 30 minutes. He said, I've been listening for 30 minutes. I said,
No. We got a big clockwork monitor. We got the little stop.
Anyway, let's spice things up a little bit.
Well, let me finish the brilliant concept. Okay. This guy should be listening to this concept because I'm going to explain why we have a deficit and why we have a massive consumer spending. Because money is basically the closest of visual technologies that is tactile. There's even rumors that it's close to our feces. It's like this desire to fondle your feces when you're a baby. All right? Money as a tactile thing that you can touch and move around with. And also as a number. Number's a tactile medium. And number as statistics, the rackets game. All right? This credit card world, this computerized world where we have money statistics piled up, right? That's part of the tactile fever. So we call it money fever. But it's tactile fever. Now, the reason we interpret it as we're getting more and mountains of visual space at the same time as we have debt is that under electric conditions, a crowd, and a crowd is a wealth of anything, a group of anything, a crowd thinks as it's getting that it...
Sorry.
Cut me off.
Sorry, it's a mistake.
I'll say that again. A crowd, as it's getting bigger... feels at the same time it's getting smaller. As a crowd actually gets bigger, it doesn't feel it's getting better. As it gets bigger, it feels it's getting smaller. And insecurity, anxiety syndrome moves in. So as we develop more wealth, more money, more tactile involvement with visual space, we feel we're getting smaller. And that's why we have a debt, a sense of an incredible deficit. At the same time, we have this immense wealth all around us. So money, as a dynamic for the crowd, undergoing electric conditions inflation, creates a sensation of doing more with less and doing less with more. All right, so...
Now, I'm going to play Barbara from here, if I could, for a second, and cut you short. We have a caller.
Great. Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
You're on.
Yo.
Nonverbal communication. Let's take it in.
Hang on over here and listen to our conversation.
Okay. You there, caller? Hello. Maybe he's not there.
He's there. She's there.
Is it him? I can hear it.
He's there. Look, he's communicating. Silent. It's good. Bringing up some interesting notions. Just listen to it, Mike. See how it works?
Are you there, caller?
Yeah, he's there.
Hello?
Yeah, hear the creak?
I hear the creak.
He's there. I think he... there's a... Is this a pink way of engendering paranoia? Is this a nonverbal death threat?
Why don't you keep talking? I'll see if I can connect the caller.
All right, help.
Hi. Hello. Okay, go ahead.
Please stand by.
Oh, that was good. What is this? Of Al McPhee here.
I'm having a hard time getting through to you.
You have found me. You found me. I've been waiting for this call for 2 years, Mike. Look at the earthquake. Earthquake at the studio.
I'm passing overhead. I can see down.
Yeah? What do you see? Can you see Mike?
I see a Mary Lou Williams record.
Oh, where is it?
Trash.
It's in the trash. Yes, right behind Mike Dyer, there's a Mary Lou Williams. Just look behind you, Mike. See it? Right in the trash can there. This person is proprioceptive. This is X-ray mentality. You're right. You say, okay, you tried to tell us something that you can see our studio. Mary Lou Williams album in the trash there, right behind Mike. Shocked Mike. Mike's nervous. He's taking a drink.